for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is the Tuesday afternoon service of July the 4th, 1989. Tape number 9 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher for the afternoon.
Now, I've got a subject that is far more than I understand. But I thank the Lord for the understanding that we are beginning to come into concerning the subject. And this may sound far out, and it sounds far out to me, but I still believe it. I don't know how to achieve it or to arrive at it, but I believe that somehow, some way, we're going to have to come to the understanding of the inherited curses. We're going to have to go clear back with some of them, somehow, some way, to Adam. Now, you say, well, I thought that that's all taken care of. Well, so did I. But as I have come in circumstances, I have found that I was mistaken, that the inherited ancestral curses are in working in us today. And we have to come to an understanding of how to become free from them so that we can walk out into the freedom and be what the Lord wants us to be. Now, my understanding, there are three types of curses that may be broken down into more than that, but I think there are three basic types of curses. And one of them, well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And I believe that one curse we can come under from what we say. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of a tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I believe that one type of curse we can come under by what we say. And John chapter 6 picks that up again. John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So words are a living thing. They have life to them. And how we speak the words can be life or death to us. We can curse ourselves or curse others. And I believe that another type of curse comes from witchcraft, from those who are practicing witchcraft and work witchcraft against us, that there's power in the curses of witchcraft. And it's real. It isn't imaginary. It's real. And we could tell you many instances of witchcraft worked or spoken or worked against us or against others as we have dealt with people. But today, I want to deal with the curses that the Bible says that we're under, because God's Word says so. And it says that we're under it because our ancestors have done something or we have done something. So I want to look at those curses today and see what God says His rules are in relation to His Word and to how it can affect us if we disobey it. So let's start with Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the Lord says that we are a peculiar people unto Him, but only if we keep His covenant. So let's see what some of those things are. That's what we're going to look at. Chapter verse 10 says, And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord said to Moses. I hear people say, Moses said. Moses didn't say. Moses said what God said. And they try to say it that Moses said it. Moses said it, yes. But God said it for Moses to say it. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And today we are approaching what we understand to be the third day. We are coming to the time of the kingdom, the third day, what we've known as the millennium, the time of the kingdom. We are approaching unto the third day. And the Lord says, go unto my people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be clean. So the Lord today is calling us to prepare for the day of the Lord, to become what he wants us to be. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. And again, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter picks up this that I have just read in Leviticus, in chapter 1 and verse 15. He picks it up and he repeats it. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the Lord is calling us to be holy. Now, when I first began to hear that, I thought that's foolishness, because nobody can be holy. Then as I looked at the word and saw that God says to be holy. So if God says to be holy, then we are to, that is to be our goal, to apply ourselves to be holy. That is a goal that we are to have, to be holy. And in order to be holy, we have to wash ourselves with the word of the Lord and to apply it to our hearts and lives and to learn how to live by it. So now let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, we will begin to see some of the things that God says that we are to do or not do so that we can be holy. The Lord spake all these words, saying, and the Lord says, and God spake all these words, saying, not Moses, says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, or sin, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word. So, if we don't obey the word of the Lord, we will get a visit upon us to the third and the fourth generation. Again, in chapter 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord God, what? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord is forgiving, he's long-suffering, he's abundant in mercy and goodness and truth. Doing what? Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. And what is iniquity? When we know to do right and do not do it. Iniquity. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So he's all these things to those that obey his word. But to those who do not obey his word, he will visit the iniquity to the third and the fourth generation. Again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And verse 6. Oh, no. It says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, or the house of sin, from the house of bondage. He says, thou shalt have none other gods before me. These are some of the things now that he says we will not do. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, or correct translation is that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? And keep my commandments. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. 10 generations is approximately 400 years. So God says that an illegitimate child carries a 10-generation curse. God says that incest carries a 10-generation curse. The Amorite and the Moabite are the children of Lot by his two daughters, by incest. And God says that incest, sexual sins of incest carry a 10-generation curse. Okay, let's go over to, I want to read verse 14. It says, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee. So the Lord's here to deliver us. He said he walks in the midst of the camp to deliver us, and to give to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. For we are to seek to get all the uncleanness out of us, so that God will not turn away from us. We want the Lord to be our blessing. If we want the Lord Abraham's blessings to be ours, then we are to desire and seek after to be clean before the Lord, so that the Lord will desire us and not turn away from us. Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Lord says here, oh, that there were such a heart, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 5. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go, say to them, get you to your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee. Well, I want the Lord to say unto all of us to stand here by him so he can speak unto us. I want to hear the word and the voice of the Lord. I want the word of the Lord to come forth, and that the Lord will be our portion. Chapter 6 and verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. And today we are possessing our land. We have our land to possess. That thou mightest fear, first of all, we're to fear the Lord our God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments. He doesn't say some of them, he says all of them, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. 3 generations he's carrying down there. If we get it into us like that, it'll carry on and on, as the Lord intended. Verse 23 says, and he brought us out from thence. He's brought us all out from someplace. And why did he bring us out? That he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness, not somebody else's, but it'll be my righteousness, your righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Without holiness, no man shall see God. That's what the Lord says, and he won't change his way.
And he says that he's looking for a church without spot and without wrinkle. So if we want to be part of that church, then we need to desire to walk before him in holiness, to keep his word, and to clean ourselves up so that we'll be without spot and wrinkle. If we desire to be part of that church that he says that he's going to have. And I want to be part of it. I want to get the spots and wrinkles out. And to get the spots out, you got to wash. And to get the wrinkles out, you got to press them with a hot iron. So you're going to get washed and you're going to get pressed. And ain't none of us what likes that. But the Lord says that you got to get the spots and wrinkles out. So Lord, help us not to complain and grumble. But he also says that we're cursed to the third and the fourth generation and the tenth generation in certain areas. And we're cursed by God. Now, as best I can understand and figure out, I haven't really done a complete study, but there are 70-some curses in the Bible that God says we're cursed by if we disobey. There are over 70. We've got a little book back there that has most all of those in it. I'm not saying that that is complete, because I haven't really done a study on it, and I don't think that the party who wrote that says it's complete. That's just what he has come up with. Now, some of these things I know, and we're going to look at them this afternoon. But God says, and I was never taught any of this, but God says that we're automatically under these curses when we disobey and do certain things. That we're automatically there. And it's not God's fault that we're ignorant. But it is the fault of those that have gone before us that haven't taught us and haven't taught us all that the Scripture says. So, but Lord, help us to come out from under these things now and help us to study that we show ourselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth and applying it to my heart and to my life and you to your heart and to your life. So that we can be without spot and wrinkle. So now let's look at some of these things and the basis for the things that God says we're cursed with to the third and fourth generation, and see if we can, we're not by any means going to cover, we're just going to cover this afternoon for a while, quite a few, but not everything. So let's start over in Exodus chapter 20. We'll start in 20th chapter of Exodus, and we will go back and pick up where we left off here with verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." So there is the basis for everything else that we will study today. Everything else we will study today is laid out in the basis here of what we call or know as the Ten Commandments. The rest of it, it all can be found and based here in this. Okay, so now let's turn over to, let's see, where do I want to go? I want to go to Leviticus chapter 18. Back up. Leviticus 18. Oh, excuse me. I'm trying to just turn the page back in Exodus. That won't work. Leviticus 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt or sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances or their regulations or their laws. You shall do my judgment and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And then he says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now you notice he covers it all right there in that one verse. Any that is near of kin. Now we'll look at some of the near of kin. We won't go into all of it. I'm not going to read all of this, but I will read some of it. And I want you to understand here that the word nakedness means sexual relations. We read that and we kind of pass over it because they say nakedness. Well, I'm not looking at anybody's nakedness. That word nakedness means sexual relations. So when you see that word, that's what it means. So, verse 9 now says, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. And that verse is so worded that it covers every relationship of a family. It can cover your mother's died and your father has remarried. Who's the parents of the boy that was just here, went out the door? Bring him back in, please. Unless you know where he's going and what he's going to do. This verse covers a mother that's died or a father that's died. It covers, and mother or father have remarried, and they have remarried and brought other children into the family that belong to either side of that family. Or it covers that they have, in their union again, have had additional children. It covers every aspect of a husband and wife in a family relation. That verse does, how God has put it together. So, in every aspect then of a family, we shall be clean before the Lord, and we shall not have any relationship of any type in the family. We shall not uncover their nakedness. We shall not have any sexual relations with them. Verse 19 says, also, now in between here, you can read all these other verses that apply to sexual relations in the family and incest. The son, the daughter-in-law, the father's wife's daughter, all of these things. It's all incest. Carries a 10-generation curse. Verse 19 says, also thou shalt not approach unto any woman to uncover her nakedness, or as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness, for the time of her menstrual period. You shall not have sexual relations with a woman during that time. And the Lord says here that you're not to uncover her, or you're not to have relations with her. We'll pick that up again. I'll talk about it later. Verse 21 says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, of thy God. I am the Lord. Today, that's abortion. That's the same thing today. It's abortion. Then it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Homosexuality, lesbianism. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality. He says, defile not yourselves in any of these things. Leviticus chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses again, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever be of the children of Israel, or the stranger and the sojourner in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And, listen to this, If the people of the land do any wise hide their eyes from that man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man. So when we don't do anything about abortion, God says, if we hide our eyes and don't come against it, God says that he'll come against us, that we're not to hide our face from it. I'll cut him off, and all that go whoring after him, who follow after that, to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after searches hath familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He doesn't ask you if you want to do it. He doesn't say, would you like to do it? Or what do you think about it? Here, let's look at this and see what you think about it. You don't say that? He says, what did he say? He says, do them. I have no choice. There is no way that I can try to twist it so that it doesn't apply to me. But there's too many places and things and teachings that try to twist it so that it doesn't apply to you or to me today. And no place can you get it any plainer than that. You shall keep my statutes and do them. And we're reading some of them today. And notice I said some of them. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife and uncovereth his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality, lesbianism. Curse of AIDS. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, bestiality, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. All these things that I've read, there's books in the newsstand that you can buy today that says that all of this is okay. And that it's normal thing and it's all right to do it. God's judgment is in the land because of it. We haven't begun to see it yet, but it's here. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, now we're back to however it's the situation is, and have sexual relations with her and see her and she see his mate, so she has sexual relations with him, it is wickedness, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. Now, some places the Lord says they'll be put to death, you're to be put to death, and some places the Lord says you'll be cut off. Now, how can you be cut off? Well, the Lord's promised us 70 years, hasn't he? A promise is 70 years. That's the promise. If you don't live to be 70 years of age, then you've gotten cut off. How can you be cut off? You can have, well, we'll get to some of that maybe. But you can have all kinds of disease can come on you, and you may die. Heart attack, whatever. But anyway, you're cut off because of sin. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he uncovered his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. So the Lord says that we are to obey and do the word of the Lord. Now, that first verse I read back over there in the beginning, where it says, your near kin covered every aspect without reading all of this that I have read. That verse covered it all. But here it's laid out to us. In case you just quite didn't understand what that verse meant, that God lays it out. And he actually done it two times. Actually, he's done part of it three times. He's done part of it three times. Now, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 27. I really don't even almost know all this by heart. I don't even need to probably write it down, but I just to help me in case my mind had happened to go blank, I've got it written down here. Now, we start out here with verse 15. Now, the Lord says here in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 15, he starts out and says, "Be the man." So we have covered in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, we have covered, God says, "Thou shalt not." In the 18th chapter, he said, "Thou shalt not." In chapter 20, he says, you'll be cut off, or he says, you're to be put to death, or stoned, or put to death. One place it says stoned, other places it just says put to death. And he says, you'll be cut off. Now we come over here to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and he said, "Cursed, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen." We have a three and four generation curse here. Curse to the third and the fourth generation here, making a graven image. Verse 16 says, "Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother." A three or four generation curse. 17 says, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark." We don't have too much of that today because everything in America is laid out with meets and bounds. Meets and Bounds Act of 1800, which made America fulfill the 17th chapter of Isaiah. America is the fulfillment of the 17th chapter of Isaiah because of that. Verse 18 says, "Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of their way." A four-generation curse. 19 says, "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow." A four-generation curse. Verse 20 says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he hath uncovered his father's skirt." A ten-generation curse. Incest. "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast." Bestiality. I don't know if that's a four- or ten-generation curse, but I don't want to run the risk of it. So we'll put it with a ten-generation, because it is in the sexual, relation. 22 says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." A ten-generation curse. 23 says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law." Ten-generation curse. Verse 24 says, "Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly." That's four-generation curse, I would take. And then 25 says, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay the innocent." Murder. Or one who gets paid to kill somebody. And then 26 says, "Cursed be he that does not confirm all the words of this law to do that." So if we don't agree to it, we are cursed because we don't agree. Now, I didn't come back to, I want to go back to Leviticus, chapter 18, I guess we'll do. I want to talk about that one verse. I should have done it when I was there. Verse 19 was talking about the time of the ministerial period. And we have found in praying with people that prostrate trouble and female problems can be, I don't want to use the word cured. That's not the correct word. I want to use the word delivered. You can be delivered of it. In some cases, when you confess that you have had relations with your wife during the time of her period or sickness, as it's called here, and confess to the Lord and ask forgiveness for it, then that spirit of female problem or prostate trouble can be cast out of you, and your body will restore itself and you will become whole. It'll either restore itself or God will create a creative miracle instantly. But if you repent of that, there is deliverance for prostate trouble and female problems.
If we repent of that sin, then. And so if any of you have those problems, maybe you need to do some repenting there and be delivered from. We'll pray for that, too, before. I intend to pray for it, anyway, before we're through. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 says, verse 16 says, well, let's start with 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and today this is the voice of the Lord right here. All of you have got one looking at it. That's the voice of the Lord to you. If you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. What are they? God says they're going to come upon you. God says they're going to come and overtake you. It says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and thy flocks and thy sheep. And cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I want Abraham's blessing. And we sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine. But Abraham's blessings cannot be mine and they cannot be yours until we come under the word of the Lord. And we come under and obey the word of the Lord and walk in the word of the Lord, then we won't have to look. I won't have to look for Abraham. And you won't have to look for Abraham's blessings, because Abraham's blessings will overtake them. They're mine. For I must live by the word of the Lord and obey the word of the Lord. And then Abraham's blessings will be mine. They'll be yours. They are ours. They are mine. And I must obey the word of the Lord. Then they're mine. I want to learn how to obey it. I want to learn what I need to do to walk before the Lord, so that Abraham's blessing will be mine in its fullness. Not partially, but in its fullness. And then let's see what he says here. Some of the things that the Lord says will happen to us when we have disobeyed his word and done these things that we've read about. That God says we're cursed to the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation because we have not obeyed his word. Verse 20 says, the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand for to do, until you shall be destroyed, until you shall perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doing whereby thou hast forsaken me. I thank the Lord that he's long-suffering. I thank the Lord that we can put his long-suffering right in there for every one of us. Amen. Because if we didn't, and if he wasn't, we'd all be gone. But we'd all be out there being stoned. Says, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. Lord, help us that we get these things out of us so we can possess our land, so I can possess mine and you can possess yours. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder. And I tell you, this year we've almost had it. Had last year, haven't we? And still in some places. I thank God that the people of the land are calling on the Lord and repenting. And even some of the, even our governor and some of the others are called for a day of prayer and repentance so that we would have rain. And the Lord has sent us rain. And even in some areas, he sent it in abundance with abundance. I don't know, they may be complaining, but I'm not going to complain because the Lord has been merciful and sent us rain. Amen. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, the Lord, we have certainly been defeated in the last few years in our endeavors of warfare. And thy carcass shall be meat for all fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away.
and the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way, and thou shalt be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Okay, I want to go over to Malachi, chapter 1. Matthew, turn back two pages and you got it. The end of one age and the beginning of another. Malachi, chapter 1. Well, I see a verse I'm going to read here, which I hadn't intended to, but I'm going to read it because it applies perfectly to today. Verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And if I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised my name? You have polluted, you have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In what you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And that is true today in America. Verse 14 says, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. I am, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. If we make God a vow, he says we're to keep it. We're not to offer him one thing and change it to something else. We're to keep the vow that we offer unto him. And if we don't, God says that I'm cursed. Let's see. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant. No, it's, I want to read this, verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerer and against the adulteress and against false swears and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and saith the Lord of hosts, For I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, wait a minute. Saith the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's the blessings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Haggai, I want to read a verse in Haggai. It's back about 10 pages. Haggai, verse chapter 1, verse 6. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with hope. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And we put it into a bag because we have not given God his portion that belongs unto him. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Thought I had something else to read in Malachi, but I guess not. Yes, there is. Chapter 2. Oh, my goodness. Malachi chapter 2. Find yourself back over there in Malachi, page 874. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So the Lord says that to the priest, that we are to give him the glory. And today, every man is a priest of his household. So every head of every house is a priest. And if you don't give God the glory for what he does for you and what he's doing for you, you're cursed. And he said, your blessings are cursed. And he said, they're already cursed. Even before you read this, they're cursed. If you don't give God the glory. So we need to practice giving God the glory for what he's done for us. Thank him for what we've got. Thank him for I don't care how little it is. You thank him for it, and he'll multiply it. He'll make it be sufficient if you thank him for it. Bring up, be a blessing and bless the Lord for health and strength. Bless him for what he's given you daily. Bless him for it and thank him for it, and it will multiply in your hands before the Lord. He will multiply it for you. But we're cursed if we don't. If we don't thank the Lord, we're cursed. Now, back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Oh, I couldn't left that out. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and wonderful name of the Lord thy God, and Jesus is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues many and great, and the plagues of thy seed, there we're back to the curse of the third, the fourth, the tenth generation. He will make the plagues unto our seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance again. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now listen to this. Also every sickness and every plague, which is written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Some new things that doctors say are coming on the land. Well, God's got them listed right there. He's already got them down there. All we got to do is look in the Word, and we'll find it all right here. But we're too sophisticated and actually we're dumb. That's the real word. Back over in verse 45, he says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till you be destroyed, because you hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God, but with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So, we are to rejoice before the Lord in the things that we have. Now, just in case that you think that is only in what some people call the Old Testament, just for designation, I may say the Old Testament, but I don't believe in the Old and New Testament. I believe in the book. I believe in the book. That's the Word of the Lord. And I believe that what it says over here in Revelation chapter 22 applies. Verse 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. This book. This is the book. The prophecies of this book. If you don't hear the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Verse 14 has the answer for every one of us. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Doesn't say they're done away with. Doesn't say I don't have to keep them. Doesn't say I can find some scripture to twist it so that I can apply, say they don't apply to me. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments. And what is it? That they might have right to the tree of life, and that they might enter into the gate into the city. Hallelujah. For my desire is to enter in through the gates of the city, and to keep the word of the Lord, and to hide it in my heart, and to rightly divide it, so that I sin not against the Lord. Hallelujah. What does he say in verse 13? He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and Jesus Christ, is his name. Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus is his name. I declare that the word of the Lord is for us to hide in our hearts, that we sin not against the Lord, that we walk before him in righteousness and holiness, so that none of the curses that are written in this book shall apply to me or to my posterity, to the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation, but that I shall come unto those who are blessed unto a thousand generations. Hallelujah. The blessing of a thousand generations. And no man has lived unto that promise yet. For God, for we are only in the 6,000th year, so there are still 34,000 more years to fulfill that promise of a thousand generations. It's approximately 40,000 years it'll take for a thousand generations. We're only down somewhere, what, in the 43rd generation or something. I don't know, something, someplace where we're at. But anyway, wherever we're at, I'm looking for that time out into the eons of eternity when we fulfill the thousand generations, and then another thousand on top of that, and we can't even count them further with that. They're beyond our imagination, and they're not for us even to consider. We're just to live today to fulfill God's word, that we may walk and be part of the heirs of salvation in that day which lies ahead of us, that we're coming unto. We're coming unto the time of the kingdom. We're coming down to the time when God's requiring holiness of his people. We're coming down to the time when there is a gulf coming between the people of God and those of the world. The gulf will become greater and wider, and the persecution will become more and more to those. Now, there's persecution, and there's great persecution in some areas, and has been in the last 25 or 30 years. There's been great persecution, but there will be yet persecution that we will know as the time draws by, when Satan is rising in all his fury. He's rising. The witchcraft and the sorcery is coming forth across the nation in every way, and they're standing and praying against the Christians and coming into the churches and doing all this. And we're going to hear some about that probably this evening. A little bit, but you can expect it. You can look for it, and then you've got to learn how to stand against it. And it's not hamby-pamby. It's warfare, and it's warfare, and it's warfare. And Satan is determined to destroy the body of Christ. But bless God, we win. Hallelujah. The army of the Lord is arising in the land with deliverance in their hand and a two-edged sword in their hand and deliverance in their mouth. They're arising in the land, and the army of the Lord is preparing to march forth to bring victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. There is none other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the blood of Calvary, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we confess our sins. Hallelujah. Well, what are we going to do about this now? Well, the Lord made a way. He did something for us. So let's look first at John 3:16. It says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We know that Jesus was lifted up at Calvary, and so that is fulfilled. Then we go on, and it goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we have to believe. If we're going to have eternal life, we have to believe. Then it goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, or believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, and Jesus gave himself, that we could have life eternal. But it says, what does it say? We have to believe on him. The same is true when we come to coming out from underneath the curses. We have to apply the word of God. I always was of the opinion that when I got saved, everything was gone, and that was it. But I have found that is not so. My soul was saved. I have eternal life. But my flesh needs some more help. And it needs a lot of it. And how can I come out from underneath these curses? Galatians 3:13 says, for that Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. But just as we have to apply and appropriate John 3:16 for our salvation, we have to apply and appropriate the fact that Jesus became a curse. I thought everything was automatic. That's ignorance of the Word. But as I have studied the Word, as I have listened to others expound the Word, I have found that I was in error and that I was taught my tradition was in error. And that it is necessary that I come and confess to come out from under some of these things. Now, I cannot do anything for my forefathers. They have to confess for themselves that their own sins. And if they didn't, that lies between them and God at the day of judgment. And I cannot go back and do anything for them. But I can come and appropriate the fact that Jesus became a curse for me, and I can take the curse that is coming down the family line through a familiar spirit or by a demon coming down through the family line that has a legal right to me. I can take and I can apply the fact that Jesus became a curse for me and that he shed his blood for my sins. And I can take the blood of Jesus and I can put it out there against that sin that gives that demon a right to my life or to your life. You can do. And we can put that blood out there and we can break the power of that curse and we can loose ourselves from the curse of our ancestral inheritance. And if we have sinned, then it's necessary that, and that curse is coming down through our family line, then it's necessary that we do that for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and break that curse off of them. If we have been involved in any of these things, then we must confess them before the Lord and ask forgiveness and break the curse that Satan has a legal right to follow in your family line and in mine. Now, I don't begin to know all the things that need to be broken in my family line, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And one day, the Lord helping us, we'll get down to the end of it, I hope. That's what I meant by the remark that it says the last curse is death to be put underfoot. And that curse came because of Adam and Eve's sin. So we've got to go back somewhere. I know the Lord hung on. I know all that. And it's over my head. I can't explain it to you. But I feel somehow that God is giving us insight into these things. And as he gives that insight to different ones, that the body of Christ will begin to understand it. We'll begin to come in and apply and appropriate it to our lives. And we're working on it. And we will get the job done. I know we'll get the job done because the book says in the end that we win. So if we're going to put death underfoot, then we're going to have to learn what the operation is to do it. Of course, one thing is you quit sinning. Stop sinning, there's no death. Death is only in sin. So we have to get the death out of us that's there because of our ancestral sins, then as well as our own. So we apply and appropriate the blood of Jesus, cleanse us to wash us. We confess our sins. Then we apply and appropriate the fact that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curse and the curse can be broken. We take Satan's legal rights away and we can remove the curse. If it's cancer or if it's arthritis or if it's heart trouble, if it's anger, if it's whatever it might be, you say, well, you know, I've always heard the statement since I was a kid, well, he's a chip off the old block, you know. He's like his granddad or she's like her grandmother or something. No. Why are they? Yeah, they're like him, but why? It's an inherited familiar spirit that has followed the family line down. Anger, rage, alcohol, witchcraft, familiar spirits. Granddad died of heart trouble. Dad died of heart trouble. So I guess I'll die of heart trouble too. Familiar spirits coming down the family line. Now, what all the causes are for heart trouble, I don't know. We know what some of them are because we disobeyed the word of the Lord. Go back to Leviticus chapter 3 and you'll start right there with verse 17. Start with one of them. It says it's a perpetual statute. It is that you shall eat neither fat nor blood. Perpetual. How many of us been eating a lot of fat, got a lot of cholesterol? Disobeyed the word of the Lord. God said right there, don't do it. How many of you, this is one cause, I know one cause, sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. Eating blood sausage and blood pudding. Blood soup. That's one cause of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. It's an inherited. If you've done it, you've got a curse on you, and so has the next three generations of your family got a curse on you. God says you're not to do it. Now, whether it'll show up as sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia, I don't know. But I do know that it could, because I do know that that's one cause that comes from doing that. And all kinds of people have been involved. If you haven't, your grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents made blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. And there's a lot of people who work in the slaughterhouses who have a cup sitting over there, and when they're working, they take a cup of hot blood and drink it. Oh, yeah, that's a common practice. It's common. And what do they say it does? They say it gives me quick energy. Gives me quick energy. Also, it's given my curse. Their curse of God. Rare meat. Rare meat. Most people who eat rare meat and even raw meat have a sexual drive that is demonic. There are a lot of people who eat raw meat. We worked with a woman who ate a pound of raw hamburger every day. That was what she brought. She ate a pound of raw hamburger. There are lots of people, prize fighters and wrestlers and some athletes who eat raw meat every day. And that is they're cursed with a curse from God. And to most of them, it brings an abnormal, unreal sex drive. That's funny. Well, I suppose there are a lot of other things we could touch on. But let's do something about these things. Okay? Now we've talked about them. Now let's do something about them. Irma generally comes and has everybody pray. You want to come do it? She always helps. And then I...
Did everyone understand what he was talking about? Did he make it clear and plain to you, or do you have a question? I think it's pretty clear. And if you didn't understand it, I would suggest that you start reading. Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, those first five books of the Bible. Because we need understanding. We need to get understanding. And all we have to do is look around in the world and see the sexual sins that are rampant in TV and everything. And you don't have to all go to the world or the TV, just see what's going on in the body of Christ. I mean, we have to face the facts. There's all kinds of unlawful type sexual relations, people living together, not married, lesbianism, homosexuality, abortions, illegitimate children, promiscuous sex,
incest.
Now, she's not talking about the world. She's talking about the body of Christ.
That is the answer. Have you ever just sat and tried to meditate on why so many things are happening to supposedly good Christian families? Divorce? You know, these things had not ought to be. And we haven't understood why. And Glenn and I have cried out to the Lord, not only for our own family, but for hundreds of people that have come here with all types of sinful debauchery in their lives. And I know that Jesus wants to set them free, but we have too long heard that Jesus did everything for us and all is well in our souls. But you don't have to be a pastor very long, do you, Pastor, to see that we have come short. We haven't understood, and we haven't wanted to believe it. There are lots of things that come.
That's the problem. We haven't wanted to believe it.
We are so super spiritual, we think everything is all right, and the Lord's going to do it all. Well, faith without works is dead. We're going to have to do something, and we're going to have to rend our hearts. You know what the word rend means? Tear into it. See what's in there. Ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light upon you. Find out why all of these things are happening in precious families, little girls getting pregnant at 13 years old and 12 years old. All these things. And the mothers, they call here crying out. Of course, it's an SOS prayer. We had a call this week. Some boy was sitting in the car, some man, married man with three children, sitting in the car with a gun to his head, threatening to blow them all up if they called the police. See, these things should not, and he was saved and had the Holy Spirit, she said. His mother called. His wife was afraid to do anything. But she went on to tell me that this is the third time he has done that. And I said, well, he's just allowing the devil to throw fear into you. Stop fearing and start thanking the Lord that it's going to be different. And of course, she wanted the intercessors. We prayed, and he never took his life, that I know. All of these things that are in the body of Christ, in Christians, and sitting in here in the audience, in all of us, we don't know what our great-great-grandparents did, our great-grandparents. We don't know if they promoted or did bestiality. We don't know if they committed fornication. Fornication is two different. Fornication and adultery has to do with sexual promiscuous living, and it also has to do with seeking fortune tellers and things like that. That is also committing adultery and fornication. And there are so many things, and Glenn has brought them all out. And then all diseases, all kinds of diseases. The body of Christ, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with almost everybody in this audience, including Glenn and I have some symptoms of sicknesses sometimes. See, we should be living in divine health. We all know all that. We should have this, we should have that, because Jesus did it all. But I believe that we're going to have to do something. And the main thing we're going to have to do is repent. Repent of these sins and be sorry for them and turn and pray for others and pray for our families. Many children were given to the Lord when they're young, and the Bible says they won't depart from it when they're old. But I mean, in between this young and getting old, there's a lot of horrible things going on. And we're going to stand up now. No, I think I'll let you sit down. I can see you better because you can hide behind each other. We're going to repent. Is that all right, Brother Trench? Is that all right? Pastors out there, we're going to repent of these things. And we don't have to be ashamed of what the devil has done to us. We need to get mad at him. I mean, I remember Norman Parrish preaching those wonderful sermons on fear. And one of the things that really struck me was, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, we can be just, oh, well, whatever turns them on, that's okay. No. If it's evil, it's evil, and we need to hate it in ourselves and in our families and other people. So we're going to repent. Is that all right? Okay, we're going to repent. I'll try and remember, as the Holy Spirit quickens me, the different things that Glenn has taken up this afternoon in our bloodline. See, one of the scriptures is, I will cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. I will cleanse your blood. Listen to this now. All you children, sit down. I will cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. Is that in the Bible? Sure is. So we don't know how much dirty blood is flowing through our veins, do we? So we're going to repent about these things. And I mean really repent. Be serious. This is serious business. You know, cut off is dying. All right, let's pray. Dear Father.
Dear Father.
We come in the name of Jesus.
We come in the name of Jesus.
We are needy people.
We are needy people.
We have listened to your word.
We've listened to your word.
We believe your word.
We believe your word.
And we know.
And we know.
That your wrath is coming down.
That your wrath is coming down.
Upon all of us.
Upon all of us.
If we don't repent.
If we don't repent.
We ask you, Lord Jesus.
We ask you, Lord Jesus.
To forgive us.
To forgive us.
For any sins of incest.
For any sins of incest.
That has been committed.
That has been committed.
We ask you to cleanse our blood.
We ask you to cleanse our blood.
Of any incest committed.
Of any incest committed.
In our family line.
In our family line.
For 10 generations.
For 10 generations.
Which is approximately 400 years.
Which is approximately 400 years.
Lord, that's a long time.
Lord, that's a long time.
But our blood needs cleansing.
Our blood needs cleansing.
And you're the only one that we can come to for that process.
You're the only one we can come to for that process.
And we ask you to cleanse that part of our blood.
We ask you to cleanse that part of our blood.
That has incest in it.
That has incest in it.
We ask you to cleanse our blood.
We ask you to cleanse our blood.
That has any illegitimate or bastard children in our family line.
Has any illegitimate or bastard children in our family line.
For 400 years.
For 400 years.
We ask you to cleanse our blood.
Ask you to cleanse our blood.
For any bestiality.
For any bestiality.
For any homosexuality.
For any homosexuality.
For any lesbianism.
For any lesbianism.
For all perverse sex.
For all perverse sex.
For having sex before marriage.
For having sex before marriage.
Committing fornication.
Committing fornication.
Committing adultery.
Committing adultery.
Lord, we need your cleansing.
Lord, we need your cleansing.
Our blood is dirty.
Our blood is dirty.
We want it cleansed, Lord.
We want it cleansed, Lord.
We don't understand what all is in there.
We don't understand what all is in there.
But you say our hearts are desperately wicked.
But you say our hearts are desperately wicked.
Who can know it?
Who can know it?
Turn the light upon us, Lord.
Turn the light upon
Let
us, Lord.
Let your Holy Spirit penetrate.
Let your Holy Spirit penetrate.
Deep down into our hearts.
Deep down into our hearts.
And show us our iniquities.
And show us our iniquities.
And our transgressions.
And our transgressions.
And our sins.
And our sins.
Lord, we need you.
Lord, we need you.
We pray.
We pray.
For forgiveness.
For forgiveness.
For desiring divorce.
For desiring divorce.
For getting a divorce.
For getting a divorce.
For threatening divorce.
For threatening divorce.
And thinking about divorce.
And thinking about divorce.
Cleanse our hearts.
Cleanse our hearts.
From this iniquity.
From this iniquity.
Lord, we married.
Lord, we married.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
Some days it's better.
Some days it's better.
And some days it's worse.
And some days it's worse.
But you're able to help us.
But you're able to help us.
We want to live peacefully.
We want to live peaceably.
In our families.
In our families.
And we don't want it carried down.
We don't want it carried down.
Through our generations.
Through our generations.
To our children.
Our children.
And our grandchildren.
And our grandchildren.
And our great-grandchildren.
And our great-grandchildren.
Lord, there are so many things.
Lord, there are so many things.
We need healing.
We need healing.
Because of our terrible disobedience.
Because of our terrible disobedience.
We have fears.
We have fears.
We fear cancer.
We fear cancer.
We threaten suicide.
We threaten suicide.
We receive counsel.
We receive counsel.
From that wicked counselor.
From that wicked counselor.
That tells us to end it all.
That tells us to end it all.
That tells us we can't ever achieve holiness.
Tells us we can't ever achieve holiness.
Lord, we need your blood for all these things.
Lord, we need your blood for all these things.
Cleanse these things.
Cleanse these things.
Cleanse our minds.
Cleanse our minds.
Cleanse our subconscious mind.
Cleanse our subconscious mind.
Wash us,
yes,
white
Lord.
As snow.
Wash us, Lord, white as snow.
Lord, we need deliverance from all kinds of infirmities.
Lord, we need deliverance from all kinds of infirmities.
We need deliverance of arthritis.
We need from arthritis.
From bone diseases.
From bone diseases.
From the botch.
From the botch.
All those tumors and cancers. And
tumors and cancers.
We need deliverance from the itch.
We need deliverance from the itch.
These crawling nerves.
These crawling nerves.
That crawl up our arms.
Crawls up our arms.
And all these other diseases.
And all these other diseases.
From AIDS.
From AIDS.
From all this sin.
From all the sin.
And degradation.
And degradation.
In our bloodline.
In our bloodline.
And Lord, we need cleansing. Say it, we need cleansing, Lord.
Lord, we need cleansing.
From not being serious.
From not being serious.
By not taking the word of God.
From not taking the word of God.
And believing the word of God.
In the word of God.
Lord.
Lord.
Your word says.
Your word says.
That whosoever.
That whosoever.
Shall call on your name.
Shall call on your name.
Shall be delivered.
Shall be delivered.
We call on your name now.
We call on your name now.
Because we're all whosoevers.
Because we're all whosoevers.
And we need your deliverance.
And we need your deliverance.
Lord, we thank you.
Lord, we thank you.
And we praise you.
And we praise you.
Amen. Now let the blood flow down over
you.
Amen. Okay. Men's heart failing them for fear. Fear comes in. We get a little flutter, and the wicked counselor is right there to throw his voice right to our ears.
Give us from that eating right.
And says that we're going to have a heart attack. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get a little flutter. Ooh, we're about to get a heart attack. Oh, my. That's fear. Traumas. We took that up upstairs today. I think we've taken up enough this afternoon. Now we're going to... You ready to get rid of them or not? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And Father, we include in there everything that she didn't name. Amen. Just like you did in the Word. You said, in all those things that's not named here, Lord, we add them in there. And thank you for knowing what they are. Praise you. Father, your Word says it is written that in the name of Jesus you give us dominion and authority to cast out Satan. And this afternoon I come as a priest over this place. And according to your Word and according to the authority that's given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take dominion over every foul spirit here this afternoon. And I bind it. I bind its power. I break its dominion. And Father, all those that come out, I bind them to the day of judgment and ask you for the angels of the Lord that are here warring with us and helping us. I ask you for the angels to take them and bind them and keep them till Jesus judges them at the day of judgment. And I thank you for it, Father. Father, I come in the name of Jesus and I apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus for cleansing and washing us. And I apply and appropriate the blood against the sins of our fathers that has given Satan rights to our lives and given Satan a right to follow the family line down. I apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus against these sins of our forefathers, and I break the curses because Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curses. According to Galatians 3:13, it is written that Jesus bore that curse, and I take that place of authority and dominion in the name of Jesus, and I break the curses from off of us of our ancestor inheritance, and I bind the spirits and command them to come out now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name, you foul devils. I bind you and break your dominion. Come out. I break the curses over us. I break the curse of Baal. I break the curse of Babylon. I break the curse of Babylon. I break the curse of self-pleasure. I break the curse of pleasure and self-pleasure. I break the curse of pagan worship. I come against the curse of pagan worship. I break the dominion of it. I come against Catholicism. I break the power of Catholicism and pagan worship. I break the curse of worshiping images and idols. I break the dominion of it over these people. I loose them from the ancestral curse of it. I bind the spirit and I command it to come out in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Come out. Spirits of the occult, I bind your power and break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind you, devils. I break your dominion. I break the curse of the ancestral line. I go back for 10 generations and I bind and break the powers of the ancestral curse of the occult. I break its dominion in Jesus' name. Come out of these people. I break the curse. I set them free. Witchcraft. I come against witchcraft and sorcery. I bind and break the dominion of it in the name of the Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the curse of them of it in Jesus' name over these families. I come against the curse of abortion. I break the curse of abortion and incest and sexual sins. I break it for I go back for 40 generations and I bind and break the powers of the ancestral inheritance. And I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. You spirits of incest, you spirits of sexual sins, I break your power over these people. Lust, self-gratification, adultery, fornication, I bind your power. I break your dominion. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Spirits of perverseness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fornication, incest, adultery, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Self-love. Abortion, self-love, come out. I bind and break your dominion over these people. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, I bind your power. I break your dominion. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. I break the curse of the ancestral line. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it over us. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Madness, insanity, loose these people. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Tumors and cancer.
Come out in Jesus' name. Yes, tumors and cancer, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your dominion over these people. Come out in Jesus' name. Father, I come against the spirit of poverty.
I break the spirit of poverty, not giving you your portion, Father. Forgive us, not giving you the tithe and the offering. I come against that curse in Jesus' name. I break it from our fathers and our ancestors. I break that curse of poverty over these people. We will give you that which belongs to you. We will give you your offerings and your tithes. I break the curse of poverty off of us. Holes in our pockets. I break that power. I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. Curse of poverty, I rebuke you over these people. I break your dominion over them in Jesus' name. I loose us from that power in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes, but spirits of buying. Spirits of buying. You are overbuying, spending that which you don't have. Credit card. I break the curse of the credit card. I break the curse of the plastic money. I break that curse over these people. That's a curse, and I break it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Give them wisdom that they buy that only which they need and that they have finances for. I break that curse of poverty off of them and the curse of the credit card. I break that dominion off them. I loose them from it. Come out of them in Jesus' name. That curse, I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. not honoring your parents. I break that curse of not honoring your parents. And hating your parents, not forgiving your parents. I break that curse. You have to forgive your parents. You have to honor your parents. Whether they've done wrong, that's immaterial. You have to honor them, and you have to forgive them. You cannot hold things against them. I break that curse over us in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.